Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd getting set for show 79.
Show 79, an action-packed weekend of sports. Of course, when we talk about sports, we talk from everything from the Pacific Northwest down to Northern California. Man, it was an interesting weekend in the NFL, Sean Wally. To say the least, NFC West meets AFC West. Up in your neck of the woods, the Seattle Seahawks and the Kansas City Chiefs didn't come out too well for our foes, our friends up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Our foes. That's the Raider coming out in you. Yeah, you know, hey, it was a great football game. I mean, you don't have to have me tell you that. Listen to what Howie Long had to say. Listen to what analyst Daryl Johnston had to say. They were thinking it was a throwback game to the late 80s, possibly early 90s, and the two teams were just back and forth, duking it out, and it was a really good game, and, you know, it just so happened that the Chiefs ended up on top, and we'll talk about that a little bit with our first big-time guest, who is on the line now. Let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in New York Vinny, staying up late back east, all the way in Pittsburgh. Vinny, thanks for your time tonight.
No problem, fellas. What's happening?
Man, well, I know it's late in Pittsburgh, but kind of got your eye on a Monday night game, probably the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game, which is actually a tough contest right now.
Yeah, you know, the Steelers don't do well in Tennessee, and, you know, they're not clicking right now. I mean, they had a couple of weeks where they were going real good, and all of a sudden, things are what the heck happened there? All of a sudden, things have kind of gone belly up for the Steelers. Poor Charlie, you know, the defense is just—they're not creating turnovers. But you know, the Steelers will be okay. What a game for the Seahawks yesterday, huh?
Yeah, what a game is right. Of course, the Kansas City Chiefs are—you know—for one, looking to tout more than just their football prowess. Of course, their fan base wants to come out and explain that they are the true number one fans in the NFL. And, you know, both things kind of aligned themselves yesterday at Arrowhead.
Yeah, you know, that stuff kind of makes me laugh. I mean, does it make a difference that their fans are louder or our fans are loud? I mean, you know, it makes a difference who won the game, right? That's what makes a difference. And yesterday, you know, The Chiefs figured it out. I mean, the Seahawks, I don't know. It was one of those games where you went back and you looked at that game and you said to yourself, there's five places that the Seahawks could have won that game yesterday. But, you know, unfortunately, Kansas City comes out on top on it. You know, it's going to happen. So, listen, Kansas City's no slouch of a team. They're a pretty good team. The Seahawks are in a bit of turmoil right now, which I'm surprised. I picked them to go back to the Super Bowl this year. I'm surprised that they have not been as good as I thought they were going to be.
Now, Vinny, they say it is tougher trying to repeat, and lately the Super Bowl champions haven't done so well even in the first or second round of the playoffs. Still six games to get the ship right in Seattle.
Yeah, I just wonder if the internal problems, if the stuff you see, you know, that you don't see, if the, you know, the Marshawn Lynch sitting on the bench and at halftime and the trades and things like that have kind of, you know, the egos, as it always seems to be, that the egos on this team aren't getting in the way of their success this year. And I mean, it happens. Listen, you win a Super Bowl and it takes a special kind of team, a special kind of coach to be able to keep everybody on the same page after that. And, you know, and listen, it doesn't happen that often, as you just pointed out. you win the Super Bowl and you go back the next year. And it's not just because of ability, but it's also because you have to keep everybody focused. And once you win the Super Bowl, there's a certain amount of focus that gets lost the next year. You know, you've been there and you've done that. Now, can you do it again? Very few teams can. And I don't know if the Seahawks at this point are going to be one of those teams that can. And I'm a little surprised, actually.
Now, Vinny, you've been around professional sports for a couple of decades in, you know, Pittsburgh right now. You were in Seattle for a long time, down in San Francisco. How much truth and stock do you put in the behind-the-scenes issues, the rumors that persist of locker room strife and people butting heads and things not going as smoothly?
I think it's huge. I think it's huge. Part of what happens when a team wins is there's a chemistry. There's a, you know, a we're all in this together type of mentality that happens. And when you lose that, when guys start to split apart from each other, when guys, you know, you start to build up those cliques and different camps in the clubhouse or the locker room, it can be devastating because people don't play up to their potential. Why should I block for that guy? I don't like him. Why should I kick the ball? You know, I don't like this guy. I don't like the coach. I don't like that. I don't like the way this guy talks to me. All of a sudden, you start to not like things, you know. And I think that it can really, it's the difference, I think, between winning teams and losing teams. I mean, all of these teams have a certain amount of ability. I mean, you know, any team can beat any team on any given day, right? It's you know, it's the cohesiveness of a team. It's the chemistry of a team. It's the team leadership that is able to quell things and be able to, you know, to keep everybody on that same page, whether it's the coach, whether it's the captains of the team, whether it's the quarterback, whoever it is. You know, you have to have somebody who keeps everybody on the same page. And it doesn't seem this year to me, and again, I'm looking at it from afar. I don't see it every day. But it doesn't seem like the Seahawks have that this year like they had it last year. Last year it was them against the world.
New York, Vinny, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Vinny, you know, one of the historic franchises such as the New England Patriots, they kind of find that way to actually keep that cohesiveness going. You can actually say that with the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Now, with the Seahawks being a Super Bowl champion, why is it so quick that, you know, the switch is flicked?
Well, again, you know, the prize is the Super Bowl. There are some teams that once they get there, you know, the next year, it isn't as elusive for them. It isn't, you know, they've lost that kind of drive to get there and to be a winner. It takes a lot, man. You got to be good over 18, 19, 20 games. You know, you can't let down. And last year, you know, the Seahawks arguably were good every moment they were out on the field. I mean, how many stinker games did they have last year? How many stinker quarters did they have last year? You know, this year, how many stinker quarters have they had already? I mean, you know, you've watched some of these games and you scratch your head and you say, that doesn't look like the team that I saw last year. You know, and listen, I know people want to blame the referees. They don't get the calls. Last year, nobody blamed the referees, right? Last year, nobody said that the calls didn't go with the Seahawks. That you make your own luck. And the Seahawks did that last year. They don't seem to be able to do it this year.
And, yeah, luck definitely plays a huge, huge role when, you know, especially in these close games to where, you know, maybe Seattle won some last year with, you know, when they're 1-point victories or they're 2 or 3-point victories. Now it's not actually going their way. And of course they're trying to find and reinvent themselves and get themselves off the schneid. Now, of course, down here in Northern California, there is a team across the bay, the San Francisco 49ers, that seem to have their own problems in the locker room. And what I mean by that is, you know, Jim Harbaugh seems like, you know, every time something goes right, something goes wrong. Yesterday, there looked to be a situation to where when Chris Culver got an interception, he went and brought the game ball, what seemed to be the game ball, over to Jim Harbaugh. Seems like there's a lot of turmoil in that locker room.
Yeah, again, you know, and you know, the Harbaugh's an interesting case. I mean, both of these brothers seem to, you know, be good coaches, but they seem to have a certain amount of time, you know, a time limit on being a coach. And I think maybe all coaches do. I mean, as good as Mike Holmgren was, he had a time limit. Pete Carroll will have a time limit as to how long, you know, he is going to be a good coach. He can keep control of his team. I mean, he was a good coach at USC and what happened. You know, I mean, you know, when you're dealing with athletes, it has to, you know, everything has to fall into place. It's more than just, as I said before, it's more than just ability. You have to be able to get people to buy into what you're doing. And sometimes if you don't get to the promised land, like it happened with Harbaugh down in San Francisco, all of a sudden, you know, guys don't buy into your system anymore. Guys don't buy into what you're selling them anymore. They say, you know what, you said it, but you haven't gotten us there yet. You know, and maybe they start to tune the guy out, like I think happened with Holmgren in a lot in toward the end of his tenure in Seattle, where people turned around and kind of tuned Mike Holmgren out.
New York Vinny joining us here on the double. And Vinny, your voice is one that is known to a lot of our listeners in the Pacific Northwest, as you spent, as you know, from 1993 through 2009 on the air in and around Seattle, both TV and radio. What are your fondest memories about your time in Seattle?
Wow. You know, there's so many. It's really hard to pick one out. I mean, you know, going to the Super Bowl for the first time with the Seahawks back in 2005, nothing will ever top 1995 as far as Seattle memories, you know, and that whole situation. I mean, not only were you fighting for to get into the playoffs for the first time, but you're also fighting to keep the team in Seattle. You know, that whole successful drive to get Safeco Field built. It was just a magical time for sports, and it really brought Seattle from a second thought in many sports people's minds to a major league city. And you know, the Sonics in '96. I mean, that whole run with Peyton and Kemp, and you know, going to Chicago and dancing on the ball with Kevin Calabro, and there's just so many great moments that happened for me in Seattle. I was in on so many great, great history-making moments in Seattle. That it's hard to pick one up, but I think if I had to, you know, go with one, it was, the day we found out that Safeco Field was going to get built. That was, we knew that the Mariners were going to stay. They weren't going to go anywhere for the next, 25, 30, 40 years, for a team that every year was talking about moving.
And conversely, on the other side of that spectrum, the Seattle Supersonics have been gone for over 6 years already, Vinny. Do you think that situation will ever get ironed out?
I don't know. There's a piece of me that says, screw the NBA. Go out and get an NHL team, get an NHL expansion team. And the heck with the NBA. What the NBA did to Seattle was nothing short of scandalous, and should have been investigated by the federal government to go and rip the franchise away from Seattle like it did. There was nothing anybody could have done to keep that franchise in Seattle because it was all preordained. David Stern was going to give that team to his buddy. And I don't know that there was anything that any politician or any group or anybody could have done to keep that team there. And I'm convinced of that, and we'll go to my grave thinking that that's the case. And nobody's ever been able to prove to me any different that Seattle is nothing but screwed out of that team. And when somebody screws you like that, do you want to get back in the saddle with them, or do you just say, hey, you know what? Thank you, but it's been fun. Go pedal your basketball somewhere else. We'll watch hockey. We'll watch college basketball, and go from there.
New York, Vinny joining us here on the double, and of course, what's happened with the Sonics is definitely a travesty. And, you know, I long for the day that the Sonics will don the green and gold. And, you know, the other part is that maybe the city council has to just get off of their you-know-whats and get something done, get an arena built first so that we can have a team in Seattle. I mean, wouldn't you say it's kind of a two-way street on that issue?
Well, yeah, but, you know, the appetite for public funding of these buildings isn't what it was back in the 90s. You know, in the 90s, you could get, you know, things where people were flush. People had money. There was money around to be had and to be spent on these types of things. People didn't mind that. You know, nowadays it's different. You know, there's not just here in Seattle, but also, you know, everywhere. People aren't, you know, building these buildings like they were before. You know, there's other more pressing needs. I mean, what's more important to have? You know, to get this building built, you know, and to put, you know, city money into it? Or is it more important, you know, to find private people to do it? I think I would love to see an arena built. I think it'd be a great thing for the city and for the county and for the area. But the reality is I don't know that the public appetite is there right now to say, okay, let's put up a whole bunch of money to do this. I mean, I think they would help, you know, if a guy like Chris Lawson wants to come in and he wants to do that, that's a great thing, and they should help him out as much as they can. But I don't know that you're going to see a city council say, let's give him, you know, $400 million to build a building. I think those days may be gone.
Hmm. Now, speaking of that type of funding, of course, you're in a city to where it seems like every sport thrives. Is it a foregone conclusion that Pittsburgh will never have an NBA team, or is that something that's talked about?
Well, you know, I don't know that this city is. Listen, I think an NBA team would be good here. I think it would work here. But there's a lot of people who know a lot more about this city than I do that say that it wouldn't support four teams. And it's the kind of city that will only support three teams. And, you know, and so consequently, I don't know that the NBA would work here. Here you have to win. There's no you know, curve here about you come in and you lose. You know, people went through that with the Pirates, and the Pirates had a long history here. But I think if an expansion team came here and they didn't win right away, I don't know that they draw people. Especially when you have a college team that wins, you know, you have other options here. You can go down the road and go see the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James if you want to see NBA basketball that bad. It's you know, an hour drive away. I don't know if the NBA would work here, you know, would work here in Pittsburgh.
Now, Vinny, you've got a new project launching in January, drivetime-radio.com, your Drive Time radio show. And really, you've been doing auto reviews that you've called Drive Time Radio for many, many years, and now you're turning it into its own show.
Right. We did a show here in Pittsburgh, you know, an automotive show here in Pittsburgh for about a year, and it was a success. It was a big success. So we're going to launch a 2-hour version on Saturday mornings. It'll be on, you know, it'll be available as a podcast on iTunes, on the internet, you know, and hopefully we will, have at least a few radio stations, maybe 15, 20 radio stations to start, and syndicate it out to a bunch of stations. Listen, you can have fun talking about cars, you can have fun talking about girls, you can have fun talking about sports. We're going to try to have fun talking about cars. I think we've done it before, and it's you know, it's a lighthearted look at the automotive world. It's car reviews, it's car shows, a lot of fun. It's kind of like you know, somebody has to replace Click and Clack. You know, unfortunately, one of them passed away not too long ago. So somebody's got to replace him. Why not me?
Vinny, in all your years in hosting various radio, TV shows, sports, automotive, the like, what
are some of the keys to longevity in this business?
You got to be nuts. you got to be nuts, man.
Yes.
You know what? Be yourself. Be entertaining. Listen. You know, don't think you're the set. Don't think you know more than anybody else because you don't. Just because you have a microphone, listen to people. You know, listen to the people that call your show. Listen to the people that engage in conversations with people. And remember that this is show business. What we do is entertainment. I mean, it's talk radio, but it's entertainment. And that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to entertain people. You're supposed to make people feel like you're their friend. You're a guy sitting on a stool in a bar somewhere and, you know, and they're sitting down next to you and talk to you. That's what I've always tried to do. And, you know, so far I've lasted a while in this business. I don't know how, by the grace of God, that I'm still doing it, but I am. And you know, so that's my advice. Just be yourself and be accessible. You know, don't think because you're on the radio you know more than anybody else or you're better than anybody else or anything, because you're not. You're a regular guy that just happens to have a microphone and talks to a lot of people. That's all. That's the only difference. You're not smarter than anybody else.
New York Vinny, it's been a pleasure having you on the show tonight. I know that Sean and myself, we both listened to you for many, many years in Seattle. Your knowledge is paramount. Thank you so much for your time. Visit NewYorkVinny.com as well as DriveTime-Radio.com for everything New York Vinny. Thanks for your time, Vinny.
Thanks, Vinny.
Thanks, good talking to you, man. Take care of yourself.
All right.
There goes New York Vinny staying up late in Pittsburgh, PA.
Man, Vinny is the guy, you know, and just as you had said, you know, growing up and listening to New York Vinny and, you know, just being able to, you know, go from one market to the other. And of course, you know, you can tell that there's a fond love for the Pacific Northwest that Vinny has, even though he's over in Pittsburgh. But man, he's such a staple over there, doing some great things that, you know, he's going to continue to have some success. And so, coming back from the break, we're going to have guest number two, and that is none other than Ruthie Bolton. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name. Cause you burn with the brush fade.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Show number 79. Guest number one in the books, New York Benny. And, man, Sean Wally, we are going into guest number two here.
Absolutely, Sean. Let's go ahead and head on out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome back Ruthie Bolton, two-time Olympic gold medalist. Ruthie, thank you for your time.
Well, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Ruthie, you are a busy woman doing some great things in the community. And, of course, the last we talked, you had just kicked off your book and you were doing a book signing.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, the title of my book is A Ride of a Lifetime. And it just sort of tells my story about what I had to go through to get where I've arrived in basketball-wise. But it's also talk about, you know, determination, about never quitting, talk about, you know, faith. It's talking about just really learning the foundation of having a successful, you know, successful life, you know, on and off the basketball court.
And, of course, Ruthie, you grew up. Yeah, I believe there were, gosh, how many brothers and sisters? There were 12, am I correct?
No, 20.
Oh my goodness, 20 brothers and sisters. So you definitely have come from an area of adversity. And so how was that actually growing up and finding an identity for yourself and becoming the person who you are today?
Oh, definitely my family. Just having my family was huge, huge part of the foundation. You know, my dad just taught us a lot of principles about, you know, family, about faith, about character, about work ethic. And without a doubt, I could not have done the things that I've done without his guidance, without his foundation. So that's actually the reason why I write the book. And the book is dedicated to my parents for what the foundation they gave me, and just really being there and just really just telling me, like, it, you know, being direct with me, but loving me in spite of. So, oh, yeah, definitely. The best foundation my parents gave me has taken me, you know, has been the source of my strength.
Ruthie, you do a lot of speaking and engagements with various foundations in a way to give back. And what is it that you like to teach people and youngsters about life and how to achieve greatness?
You know, the thing about it, you know, sports is an amazing thing. You know, I just got back from Ukraine. I'm going to China next month. So sports is a universal language, and I love the game, and the game is taking me across the country. But I want kids to know that, you know, it's about the game of life. Like, when I do camps and I do clinics, I'm just not trying to teach a kid how to shoot a shot or how to play defense. I'm like, of course, that's part of it, the fundamentals, but I'm really trying to teach them the fundamentals of life and about, you know what, no matter what people say, tell you no, you got to tell, don't let people validate who you are. And I was told no in a lot of phases of my life, but people don't know. You know, I ended up, you know, with me being a two-time Olympian, four-time, you know, Hall of Famer, and I was told I wasn't good enough to play basketball in Division I. And I almost walked away from the game. And my father said, you know what, don't let people validate who you are. He said, you got to have faith, and you got to be willing to work harder than anybody in the gym. And he said, you will be just fine. So my father just was the wind beneath my wings, because he really elevated me and really made me believe I can do whatever I wanted to do. And so I really appreciate that. So I feel indebted to share with every kid that I encounter, every kid that I meet on the court or off the court, that, you know what, you can do it. What you want to do, you got to write your goals down, you got to be willing to work. But if you work at something, you will be amazed at the power within. You'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish if you just really, really push through. But it starts with your mindset, your attitude. If you go in and thinking you're not going to do it, then you won't. But if you go in and say, you know, I don't care how many times I've fallen down, I can get back up. I fall down 8, I get back up 9 times. So that mindset is very important. So that's what I want to teach. That's why I try to teach your mindset, your approach to anything you encounter, and that's what's going to help you overcome.
Ruthie Bolton doing great things, and you had great success on the basketball court. Do you remember a time, whether it be early on in college or maybe winning gold medals for Team USA or all the way at the WNBA level, that you had that moment where you thought, man, all this hard work, all this time and effort put into it has paid off.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, I love it. I love the game today like I did yesterday. I tell you, when I go on the court and play, you know, I don't care who it is. It can be a 30-year-old, 40-year-old. It can be a 10-year-old kid. I'm trying to win it. I'm a competitor, and I love the game, and I think they'll never go away. And so definitely my work ethic and the challenges I had to go through early in life really prepared me, you know, for what I endured throughout my journey, because, you know, the challenge of not being recruited by different colleges and almost not playing basketball and feeling rejected, feeling discouraged, you know. And so once I made it, it just gave me so much confidence, and it just said, you know what, I can do whatever I put my mind to. It doesn't matter what people say or their perception. As long as I work hard at it, I can overcome it. I can achieve it.
Ruthie Bolton, kind enough to join us here on The Double. And Ruthie, every time I talk to you, you know, whether I'm texting you or calling you, like you said, you're in the Ukraine, and then, you know, you're back over here. And then I said, Ruthie, let's get together. And you said, you know, hey, I'm in Seattle. You're up in Seattle a couple of weeks ago. And what was the engagement? Because when you told me, you said you were sitting down with the L.A. Clippers owner, Steve Ballmer. And so going on up there in the Pacific Northwest?
Man, listen here. You know, this man has so much energy and passion. Like I love basketball, but you know what? What's bigger than basketball is the game of life and mentorship. And this program called A Plus is so amazing because these people are serious about impacting and changing lives. And you know, as big of a guy he is, I'm talking about from a financial standpoint, you know, his status and what he's done. I think him and Bill Gates, best friends. You know, but he just. Just his presence being there, you know, he didn't have to be there. He could have just, you know, he supported financially, but he could just say, you know, hey, you know, send a letter. But he was there live and living color, and his passion celebrating these kids just really was just a very humbling experience. I was just like, you know what, this man gets it. This man is a billionaire, but he gets it. And that's what makes it great. And I said, you know what, and that's what, to me, true character is about. It's about understanding where and being a difference maker. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter my status or my what I've done. It's about changing lives. And what he is able to do is, it was just beautiful. It was a beautiful experience to watch and seeing these kids and just, you know, how grateful they were. And they were their fifth year anniversary and stuff. So it was just a beautiful sight. And so I'll be continuing doing some work with them, some mentoring work with them. And I tell you, it was just a beautiful sight to see. He was there. A lot of there was James, there was a couple NBA guys there, and it was just a beautiful environment, a lot of energy. Everybody was there for the same cause, and that was to, you know, provide a foundation, you know, for these kids and keep investing to these kids' lives. So the organization is called A+. Well, I had a blast.
Now, Ruthie, of course, you're grounded in your strong faith and your beliefs. And, of course, you know, as you were mentioning, you were sitting down with the former NBA players, I believe Brandon Roy and James Donaldson. And do you ever take a step back and pinch yourself and say, you know, this can't be real? But I mean, but it seems like you're moving so much and so fast and so hard that you don't have the time to actually blink or take a step back.
You know, I know it's just like, it's so hard for me. When it's got something to do with kids, it's hard for me to say no. So with that said, I'm all over the place, you know, traveling and speaking. And I've actually done more speaking than I have actually coaching. Like, I coach and I love the game and always will. But I like when I can stand in front of thousands of kids, thousands of women, and really help share my story. And my story can help empower somebody about not quitting. I feel like that's what my purpose is. You know, my talent was basketball, but I feel like my purpose was, you know, it goes beyond the game. I feel like my faith and what, you know, my divine purpose was God created me for go beyond the game, because, you know, just how everything happened, my journey. And man, saying I wasn't good enough to play, you know, the setbacks that I had, but I knew that God had a plan for my life. And so I feel like anytime I can share my story, you know, I go out. So it's like I get energized from it. So that's why I'm so busy. It's like it's hard for me to say no, because I just want, I feel like every time I'm in front of a group of people that I'm going to help impact for my life. So with that said, I just, you know, I'm keeping it moving.
Ruthie Bolton joining us here on The Double. And Ruthie, you are working on a documentary that'll be out soon. I'm guessing it's about, you know, your life and how to achieve, you know, great things. Is that close?
Yeah. yeah, it pretty much is about my life. It's about some things that I really haven't really told publicly to people. You know, I talk most about my basketball life, but it's more about, it's talking a lot about domestic violence, because it happened a lot in sports. So I'm sharing that. My first marriage was, I experienced domestic violence. So with it happening so much in the last couple of months, I feel like the time was now is to speak out and to share. So to be a voice for those women that feel like, I feel like, why did I let it happen? Or women that feel like, women that are paralyzed by fear or guilt. It's like, you know what, no matter what you've done, you don't deserve to go through that. So, and since I was on ESPN, I've had so many women to come up to me and say, thank you so much for sharing it. You know, I experienced, or my sister did. So it's happening so much. And so to be able to now step and sort of deviate and sort of empower women and go that route, I'm happy to do it. So that's what my documentary is going to cover. My whole life, of course, but it's going to talk about that in detail, which is what I haven't really publicly talked about before. So I just know it's going to really impact and touch lives. And the way that your listeners can help is to go to RuthieBoltonFilm.com, and then they can click on Indigo Goes Mobile, and then they'll see a two-minute video of the documentary, and they'll also see a way that they can help from a financial standpoint, too, because we're trying to really make this really nice. The production crew has to go to Italy, they have to go to Alabama, they have to go to Mississippi, so it's going to be a lot of work involved, but I know it's going to be worth everything that people put into it. So I'm asking all my family and friends of friends to help support this endeavor.
Absolutely. Ruthie, anything we can do to help get the word out via our show and social media, we definitely will do it. We've helped others in the past with some type of crowdfunding, and it has gone well, so we'll definitely do that for you. We appreciate all the time that you give us. And I'm curious, when you be vulnerable and you open up like you're going to in this documentary, how is that for you personally to take the time and to be an open book?
Yeah, it was. I know I had questions about it. People, you know, being judgmental, people saying this and saying that. Yeah, it was a tough spot, and I was going back and forth. And I said, you know what? It ain't really about me. It's about the voices. It's about the voices of women that are afraid or using the platform as being a so-called celebrity. Like, man, she actually went through that. Oh, my goodness. I don't, maybe I don't feel so alone. She went through that. And so then maybe it empowered people to say, you know, I guess I'm not that bad of a person. She went through it, and it can happen to anybody. And, you know, being in that place. And plus, you know, I have a daughter. I have a daughter that's five, so I'm actually doing it to be a voice for her and letting her know that this is not what's supposed to happen. And that, yeah, I went through that. So, no, I feel that this is the timing now with everything that's happened and just trying to really impact the whole, the women now and the next generation of women.
Now, Ruthie, of course, as Sean was saying, a very, very vulnerable, state to put yourself in. But, of course, in this day and age, you don't have to look far as taking a look at what's been going on with some of the professional athletes, as far as the male athletes and domestic violence with their spouses. It's a long time coming, and your voice is actually starting to become a little bit louder because of this situation. Of course, you'd mentioned the ESPN. You're on ESPN. Are there some other things coming up on the horizon with some of the major networks?
Well, I did online ESPNW, and then I did an outside the lines, which was last week. And we're actually going to try to find that piece, that little 3-minute, 4-minute piece, and add it to the RuthieBoltonFilm.com so people can see that little segment. But I'm actually going to be on Sack & Co. next week. I don't know exactly which day, but I can let you know, Sean. I'm going to be in Sacramento, and I'm hoping that's going to really give a big push that we'll get a lot of people to go to the site and help support it. You know, and there's, you can support from, when you see the website, you can support from a dollar to wherever amount, $1,000, whatever you want to, and there's different levels, but anything helps. But we're just trying to reach out, because I know that this is, and I'm the first, I don't really like asking, because I feel like I'm putting myself out there because it's for a great cause, and I know it's going to really impact lives, and it already has just in this last month, just from people seeing the ESPNW online. So it just really validates, I need to do this, because so many women's lives are going to be touched. Like, man, you just inspired me so much by seeing it. Like, man, I feel like I can go on now. And I think it's a healing for a lot of women when they see that, or it puts closure. Like, you know what? I guess I'm not the only one. It's amazing, the place. And I don't care what you look from the outside. You know, people say, well, why don't you just leave? It's so much easier to just say that. But you go through, my topic, that ESPN, that the heading was, I didn't know a picture was leaving the stand. And really, I didn't. And women, for the most part, want to fix it. Our dynamic is that we want to fix things. And so we're saying something just so we can try to fix it. And so, you know, we're staying in sometimes too long or whatever. So that's what I didn't know. And so I lived in it for like 9-10 years. And even being a strong woman that I think I am, but still you become a prisoner of your own emotions. But it's really a tough place to be. But I'm just glad that now I can be a voice and I can open up about it and I can share. And I'm not speaking as a victim. I'm speaking as someone in victory. I've forgiven him. I'm not speaking as a victim, but I just want to empower the women. So there's nothing to get it back at him. I wish him the best to succeed in life. Wish him the best. I hold no resentment. I mean, zero resentment. But I'm just doing this so that I can help other women that might feel trapped.
And Ruthie, of course, you know, with your athletic prowess and your background, you know, I am so amazed by the things that you do. And of course, we talk, you know, day in and day out. And of course, I asked you to be on my team. I asked you to, you know, to give just a little bit more of yourself. And what I mean by that, I mean, you're a personal trainer. You help people get in shape and get themselves to the next level. And I said, Ruthie, if you got a little bit more, you know, I'd like for you to be on my team and I'd like to help you. And so, you know, by doing things with Visalis and stepping forward, I am so, so happy and honored to have you a part of the team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, health is another part of my passion too. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you have in life. If you ain't got your health and strength, you don't hardly have anything. So really, my dad said, if you got your health and strength, you're a millionaire. So I just want to really help people, you know, get back on the right track for us, you know, eating right and really just, you know, getting a better, you know, learning how to eat and learning that so they can get them better quality life and they can feel better, have more energy, and that they can, you know, be there for their loved ones.
Once again, please visit RuthieBoltonFilm.com. That'll take you to a clip of the documentary The Untold will be about, and there are various donation levels that you can help make this documentary happen. And in return, depending on the level, you'll get a thank you item for donating and helping make this documentary happen. Ruthie Bolton, great work you're doing. Keep it up. Keep your head up. Keep moving forward. Find that energy, girl. You're doing great things. Thank you so much for your time. One more time here on The Double.
Thank you. Thanks, Ruthie. War Eagle.
War Eagle, that's right. There goes Ruthie Bolton, two-time Olympic gold medalist on the U.S. women's basketball team, doing tremendous things. RuthieBoltonFilm.com, of course, has a documentary coming out, or book, Ride of a Lifetime, that came out, I believe, a couple of years ago. Just some tremendous things. Ruthie Bolton, awesome, awesome person. And, of course, you know, I get the pleasure of actually working with her day in and day out. And you know what, Sean Wally? I have to keep myself in shape and make sure that I can keep up with Ruthie, man, because she is always on the go.
Well, as always, you know, there's so many different things you could talk about with Ruthie. And health and fitness is one that we really didn't have a chance to get to tonight. And down the road, hopefully we can, and talk about, you know, the mindset to consistently work out and do great things in the gym and with nutrition. And Ruthie Bolton doing great things, giving her time to us here on The Double. And when we come back, we'll touch on the last weekend here in sports after this on The Double with the Double S Express.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you
burn with the brush flame. Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd. Sean, it's been a good show so far. Two big-time guests in New York, Vinny from all the way in Pittsburgh, PA. And we just said goodbye and thank you to Ruthie Bolton, two-time Olympic gold medalist, a WNBA player, now moving on with a documentary.
Man, and I am so excited. Yeah, I get so excited every time I talk with Ruthie. And, of course, you know, our ties go back to Auburn University, which is why she said War Eagle. For those of you who don't know. But, man, I feel like running 4 miles, you know, yeah, because she gets me so motivated and so amped up that, you know, you feel like you're not doing anything and you got a little bit more to do. And so always a pleasure to have Ruthie on the show.
Now, Sean, a big weekend for yourself getting back on air for the NFHS Network.
Well, you know, the NFHS Network is, you know, is one of those, one of those things that I love to do. And, of course, coming up, there's going to be some things that, I'll be doing with the NFHS Network as far as football is concerned. And so I'm looking forward to those things. So, you know, but this past weekend, you know, I was just basically nursing myself. You know, back into health. So, but upcoming week, there will be some things with the NFHS Network, some CIF, San Joaquin football sectionals that are coming up. And so I'm looking forward to that.
And no work in the Bay on Sunday. Both the teams were out of town, the Niners and the Raiders, and one got a win and one was oh so close.
Oh, man. Yes. And so, you know, oh so close. Of course, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. And, you know, it's getting to that point to where I don't want to say it because, you know, Raider Nation, we can't accept this conundrum that we're in, you know, but each week we're looking at 0-16 and it just keeps getting closer and closer. And I'm trying to find a window on where we will be able to get that victory. But, you know, watching the game Sunday, it was just a reminder that it is so bad. When you're starting from play number one, to where you can't even get the playoff and the communication between the center and the quarterback is so bad that you fumble the ball and you allow the other team to score on that possession. I keep thinking that it can't get any worse, Sean Wally, but it does. It does. And Oakland, the Raiders just keep finding a way to just punch me in the gut and make me feel like, oh, my God, what else could happen? What else could happen? I mean, they played after the mistakes in the beginning, they played a great game after that, losing the game 13-6. If it wasn't for that first touchdown that they gave up, it would be a 6-6 tie, and they would probably still be playing if the NFL rules allowed it. But something has to give as far as the continuity is concerned. And I keep hearing week in and week out that things are better in the camp and, you know, these guys love each other, they love the coach. When is it going to project into wins? And when will the Raider Nation start to feel some type of betterment for themselves moving forward? I just can't see it. 1 year to the day yesterday, that was their last victory. And it's just sickening. I don't know what to do, Sean. Maybe, you know, talk me off of this ledge, because it's just, I don't know, man. It's too much.
Number one draft pick in the spring? Does that put a smile on your face?
No. You know, we've gone through this before. We've gone through first round draft picks, number one picks, you know, the whole Jamarcus Russell thing. You know, he didn't pan out. He wasn't what we thought he was. The Rolando McClain thing. You know, Rolando doesn't want to play. As a matter of fact, he's having run-ins with the law. He leaves, comes back to another team, talks about retiring. Then he comes back to the Dallas Cowboys, and now he's almost, with the exception of this injury, he almost has the feel-good story of the year with comeback player. You know, of course, we spent tons and tons and tons and tons of money on players like Carson Palmer, who, you know, for whatever reason, just didn't feel like playing. I don't know what else they can do. I don't know what else the Raiders can do to make themselves a better team. But it just keeps getting worse. And I'm wondering when rock bottom is going to hit so that we can start feeling better about ourselves.
So are things better, worse, or the same than they were earlier in the season with Dennis Allen calling the shots?
Well, it's definitely better than having Dennis Allen calling the shots. What Tony Sperano is doing is he is doing a great job of keeping the glue together, because I don't know who else could actually do this job without the team just totally going, you know, in their separate ways. But when you're talking to the camp and you're talking to these guys, they actually love what Tony Sperano is talking about. I think that it's been so long that the team just does not know how to win. So to answer your question, have things gotten better? Yes, they have. The reason why they have gotten better is because I believe that we found a nucleus. And, you know, and looking for that nucleus so long, for the longest we thought it was Darren McFadden. You know, with his running game, and then you try to bring a couple of pieces in, you know, to fit. We thought at one time Richard Seymour was that glue. I believe now we found the glue to the teams in Derek Carr and Khalil Mack. And I think that we can build on those two solid pieces going forward. It just hurts that we've gotten to this point that now, when in that building phase, it can't be done overnight. And so, you know, we're tired of hearing, meaning Raider Nation, we're tired of hearing being patient, be patient with this when other teams are having successes. And so I do think that it's getting better. But every time I feel like it's getting better, that something shows me that I've talked about this before, the one step forward, two steps back. I, you know, the whole deal yesterday with Derek Carr and that fumble, it just, oh, my goodness, I can't even believe it. Can't even believe, but it is. It is getting better. I have to see a silver lining in this.
Final minutes of the show. Show 79 here on The Double. Give us a call if you want to talk Raider Nation and talk about will the Raiders get a victory, or let me swallow hard, lump in throat, if you want to talk the San Francisco 49ers and their narrow victory over the New York Giants, even when they get five interceptions. Give us a call. 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. Or if you want to talk the defending Super Bowl champions and whether or not they have a fork about to be stuck.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, you're talking about it. You know, we talked a little bit about that. We talked, you know, what's the deal going on with Marshawn Lynch and Pete Carroll in the front office? There are some murmurs going on that are actually getting louder up there in the Pacific Northwest.
You know, Marshawn was rumored to be fined up to $100,000 for not talking to the media after the Chiefs game. He did not talk to the assembled media, once again, ducked out before they were there. And what he did to probably, hopefully, get around that fine was call his good buddy, former fullback blocking for him in Seattle, Michael Robinson of NFL Network now, and talk to him a little bit. And then he also got on the phone with Michael Silver at NFL Network as well. So you have to surmise that Lynch is doing that to try to avoid those fines. Whether or not the league sees it that way is yet to be determined. Now, you can question what Lynch said to those guys and take it with a grain of salt or act like the storm clouds are brewing. But really, he said, okay, he doesn't know if he's going to be back next year, which is true, and that the Seattle front office likes to talk where Marchand does not. So did he say anything wrong? Did he say anything over the top or something he shouldn't have? Not really. He said, guess what? You know, the GM, the manager, the coach, the front office, they like to speak their mind and inform the fans and the media of what's going on, as partially they should. I mean, it's an NFL obligation for even him, even Marshawn Lynch. That's why he made those phone calls to hopefully not be fined.
So let me ask you this then. Is Marshawn Lynch coming back next year?
Not at his current $8.5 million cap hit. He is extremely important to the team. That part is paramount. He is not showing any signs of slowing down. Now, it does seem that his back is becoming more of an issue, and he's always having to have it massaged and icy hot and do things to keep it loose, yet he's still going out there and running for, let's see here, 124 yards like he did yesterday in Kansas City. So, yes, he's 28, going to be 29. Everybody thinks running backs decline at 30. Well, Curtis Martin wasn't that bad at 35, 36, 37. You know, yes, Lynch is a bruising power runner, takes a lot of punishment, but it's not like he's out there injured all the time, missing games. And really, they have a maintenance program for his back, and that's where it's at. He's vitally important to the offense. And if they can work out a two-year deal at less of a cap hit, I think they would do it. And nobody, absolutely nobody in the Seattle Seahawks front office has said, you know, he's not going to return for the final year of his contract or we're cutting ties. I mean, that would be dumb. He's one of the top five running backs in all of football. And to expect Robert Turbin or Kristen Michael to come anywhere near what you're getting out of Lynch is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely ridiculous. I think that he is the glue as far as the running game is concerned. And I think if Marshawn Lynch goes, so do the Seattle Seahawks. That's how important he is to the Seattle Seahawks, not just their offense, but the whole team. That saga will continue and it'll remain to be seen into the offseason. Still keeping those phone lines open, 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471. Now, Sean, talking about those San Francisco 49ers, and it seems like, you know, the problems that they have week in and week out don't really hurt them as much. I mean, we've written off the San Francisco 49ers every week, and these guys keep coming back. And, of course, they're looking at themselves tied for second place with the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC West. Now, there were some strange things that I mentioned earlier to New York Vinny as far as what went on at the game, and I don't know if 49er fans know this or not, but Chris Culver got an interception yesterday, and when he got the interception, he went and gave his interception ball to Jim Harbaugh, and I thought, you know, that was kind of a weird gesture considering it did seem like it sealed the game, but there was more to that, Sean, and what I mean by that is there was a situation probably about 5 minutes prior to where Ahmad Brooks was really, really upset about some of the play that one of the young linebackers was getting. And I mean, you know, this guy is just all over the place and making tackles and doing, you know, awesome things. And Ahmad Brooks is getting his time taken away. And so what Ahmad did, this is just crazy, Sean, you're going to crack up laughing. What Ahmad did was he took his shoes off in solidarity to say, I am not going into this game because you're taking my playing time away. Yes, this is an NFL player doing that, saying that he's taking his shoes off. And what he did to me was he quit on his team. He didn't quit on the coach. He quit on his team. And actually, by doing that, the San Francisco 49ers still, which is just amazing, and I have to tip my hat off to them, they still found a way to win the football game. And with this kind of craziness going on, it's no wonder that Jim Harbaugh has, you know, allowed echo that he will not be coming back next year to the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, they were able to win the game in New York thanks to Eli Manning and his five interceptions. It was very similar to week one when the Dallas Cowboys couldn't get anything going and Romo was throwing interception after interception after interception to the Niners. And you look at the Mannings yesterday. What a bad day for both of them. Seven combined interceptions. And Denver loses to the Rams. So that Seahawk loss to the Rams doesn't look quite so bad now.
Well, we all knew that the NFC West is actually a tough, tough division. And so, you know, when you have a Jeff Fisher organization in the St. Louis Rams, these guys actually, they played Seattle tough. They played San Francisco tough. As a matter of fact, beat San Francisco. And, you know, so when you're talking about the St. Louis Rams, even though they're in last place in the NFC West, this is not a slouch of a team. And so it was only a matter of time to where they would come out and, you know, show what they're made of. Defense fortified. And, man, they put it all together and beat a great, great Denver Bronco team.
Week 12 coming up in the NFL in Seattle. It is a must win, in my opinion. The 9-1, can you believe it? 9-1 Arizona Cardinals look to invade CenturyLink, where they did just that last season, the only team to beat Seattle at home. And Seattle looking to exact revenge on those Cardinals, led by backup quarterback Drew Stanton.
You know, you and I have talked off the air about this, and I've been pretty candid as far as how I see the NFC West finishing, especially after what's transpired. And I know that San Francisco 49er fans, San Francisco 49er media and fans believe that all it's going to take is one little slip. I know the Seattle Seahawks fans feel the same way, which is the reason why you are talking about this game coming up this weekend as a game that will keep you in the hunt. But this is the Arizona Cardinals division. This, by far, is a team that has positioned themselves and put themselves at the ready just in case something like this were to happen, meaning an injury to Carson Palmer. I think Drew Stanton is more than capable of running this offense. He showed it yesterday. He showed it the first two games of the season this year. And so, I mean, I think that, you know, this team can make it through to the end of the season. I believe with Drew Stanton, they can go a long ways into the playoffs. I won't go on a limb and say that, hey, they're Super Bowl bound. But I believe this last 6 weeks of the season, they can withstand the likes of the Seattle Seahawks, withstand the likes of the San Francisco 49ers. Even if that means that they go .500 the rest of the way, they will still win the division. And what's left is a dogfight between the San Francisco 49ers and Seattle Seahawks on getting a wild card. That's as best as it's going to get. And so, you know, when you have these three teams playing each other a total of five weeks, or five games, it's going to be awesome the last 5 weeks to see who comes out and gets themselves to the playoffs.
Well, you know, if the Arizona Cardinals do go .500 the rest of the way, that would be 3-3. Right now they have a three-game lead in the division. So depending on how those three losses come about, are they to the Seahawks and the 49ers? If so, those two teams – automatically are now right there with them as long as they take care of business in the other games. So it's definitely looking very good for the Cardinals, but at the same time, when you have teams that have been there before, teams of veterans like the Niners, the Seahawks, it's a little too early to write both of them off in the quest for the division.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, it goes with the old adage, you know, that's why they play the games. And you know, of course, San Francisco and Seattle have, you know, a longer pedigree in front of them. But what we're talking about is we're talking about an Arizona Cardinals team that has put themselves in place to withstand any type of a charge. I mean, their defense is consistently dominant week in and week out. It is so dominant that is almost similar to what we saw in Seattle last year. I mean, we're talking about, you know, opportune interceptions. We're talking about sacks that happen at a particular time. We're talking about a defense that will not allow the team to lose, which is, again, something that was similar in Seattle. Now, I don't see it as much in Seattle this year as I saw it last year, but I sure see it in Arizona. And I think that we would only be kidding ourselves if we're talking about either San Francisco or Seattle sweeping the Arizona Cardinals in any way, shape, or form. That is not going to happen. There's no way that that's going to happen. And again, the Arizona Cardinals have put themselves in position. They've earned this. They deserve this. And yes, the Seattle Seahawks are the defending Super Bowl champions, but the window has closed on them actually winning this NFC West. It's going to be up to them to worry about a wild card.
We don't have enough time in the day to for me to rebuttal that. But Thursday night, there is a fun night of football for the Oakland Raiders. The Raider Nation and O.co hosting Thursday night football. The Kansas City Chiefs roll into town.
You know, I look forward to this one because, you know, AFC always divisional games are always fun. You know, because on paper, if you look at things up and down, you go, oh, man, this team's going to dominate on, you know, and kill, you know, this team, you know. And so, but when it comes to the AFC West and it comes to down to, and of course, San Diego has gotten a chance to feel what it's like to play a beleaguered Oakland Raiders team. San Diego can barely beat this beleaguered Oakland Raiders team. I see the same thing this Thursday. I see that it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be under the lights. This is something that, you know, the Raiders have, they aren't accustomed to since the losing has started. So teams don't really, or the country really doesn't want to see, you know, a product like that. And I get that and I understand that. But this Thursday, I believe that the nation will actually see a great football game. And, you know, I can't go out and say that this will be, you know, a win that the Oakland Raiders will get because they've proven time and time again that they can find ways to lose. But I do know that this will be an awesome game this Thursday. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, the defense can come up and continue to do what they're doing. But more importantly, have the offense just start clicking on all cylinders. I'm just looking for that lightning in a bottle for this one game.
Show 79 of On the Double. Welcomed big time guest, New York Vinny, longtime sports reporter, sports talk host in San Francisco, Seattle, and now Pittsburgh. Visit NewYorkVinny.com for all the latest on the happenings of New York Vinny. And welcoming back Ruthie Bolton, former U.S. Olympian, not once, but twice over in basketball and WNBA great. RuthieBoltonFilm.com is the website to visit to check out her upcoming documentary, The Untold, and help fund that and get some nice memorabilia back in return.
Yes, yeah, definitely go to RuthieBoltonFilm.com. And, of course, yeah, visit New York Vinny online as well. It has been a great show, Sean Wally. I know that a lot of our fans and a lot of our friends that, you know, tune in and listen and, you know, I would be remiss from, you know, giving shouts out to, you know, some of the crew and the people that I work with the networks, you know, who listen religiously and faithfully. And of course at Howe Avenue Verizon Wireless, they always come through in the clutch. And of course, Sean, I know you have some people to send shouts out as well, but you know, we thank you all for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, it's what keeps the show rocking, and the listeners and the supporters is paramount to helping this grow from show number one all the way through 79 now, and can't wait for next week to crack 80.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, the first thing that I'm going to do as soon as we get off the air, Sean Wally, is I'm going to prepare to listen to my son play basketball the Chaminade Silver Swords over in Honolulu taking on St. Catharines in that game number 3 of the season, preparing just before they head to Maui for the Maui invite. Lock it in. Go to GoSwords.com. If you want to listen to Chaminade Silver Swords basketball, get a chance to listen to Devon Boyd. Just light it up. I mean, he had 7 points the last game. I was very excited. So, you know, that's what I'm going to be doing here when we get off the air.
That's not even fair. St. Catherine. St. Catherine? That sounds like the Raiders against the Pee Wee League team.
Yeah.
Now, so, I know that's not giving enough respect to St. Catherine. They're probably a quality basketball team, but
it's a tune-up for the Maui end. But, hey, they have some big fish to fry when they go to Maui. No doubt about it. Oh, man. I'm just looking forward to hearing my son's name being called. Isn't that that's exciting. I mean, for those of you who have kids and that, you know, and you raise your kids the right way, and, you know, this is the fruits, man. And I'm a proud dad when it comes to that. And my boys, you know, doing some great things. And so I have to talk about that. I do. You know, this is my platform. Like Vinny says, man, I mean, you know, just have these conversations, you know, and talk to the people as if you're talking to your friends. And I'm just sharing that, man. I'm just a proud dad, and I can't wait to listen to the game.
Well, just think, in a week, you're going to be seeing him on the many ESPN networks.
Oh, man, I don't even know how I'm going to react to that, you know, and so... I'm looking forward to, of course, getting a chance to watch my oldest son play for the University of Oregon and getting up there and seeing games live and everything. You know, that's one thing. But to actually see your child play on ESPN or on a major network, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you, you know. And so I don't know. There's going to be a gamut of emotions running through. But, you know, all that hard work that you see your children do day in and day out. And, you know, it's coming to fruition. So, you know, I can't wait for that. But, you know, that we'll talk about that some more moving forward. Show number 79 in the books. It's been a great show, of course, as Sean Wally had mentioned. New York Vinny as a guest and Ruthie Bolton, great guest on the show. And so that's going to do it for this week for On the Double. So get locked in next week, 7 p.m. on Monday. We'll talk to you next week. For Sean Wally, Sean Boyd, and Don Newsom, have a great evening.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.